Listen, you may as well stop pretending you are not a sinner, because all of us are.
Amen.
We all done some stuff, didn't we?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening's broadcast is the first part of Pastor Brian Grant's message of Easter Sunday. In this message, Pastor Grant will offer three symbols that stand in irrefutable evidence of the saving power of Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. It's no wonder that Easter, Resurrection Sunday, will stand for time and eternity as the greatest day on the Christian calendar. It's the day we were set free. Listen now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Three Life-Changing Symbols of Easter. Here now is Pastor Grant.
John was driving home late one night, and he saw a hitchhiker. And since he realized that the man had missed the last bus, he decided he was going to give him a ride. Well, as they drove along, John started getting suspicious, and he decided he'd better check his coat pocket. You know, his coat was between himself and the hitchhiker. He figured he'd better check his pocket to make sure his wallet was still in his pocket. And when he checked, his wallet was missing. So John jammed on his brake and told the hitchhiker, "Get out!" And as the man was getting out, John said, "And hand over the wallet right now!" So the hitchhiker, he quickly handed the wallet over to John, and John drove off in a rage. He was fuming. He was hot mad, still mad when he got home. He rushed in the house to tell his wife what had just happened to him. And his wife said to him, "Just before you tell me this, your story, let me, before I forget, do you remember that you had forgotten your wallet at home today?" The poor hitchhiker had paid for something he hadn't done. You know, it's so easy to get angry when you have to pay for something you didn't do. But aren't you glad Jesus didn't get angry? Amen. When he had to pay for your sin and my sin. We were the ones who committed the sin, but Jesus willingly died on the cross for our sin. And today is Resurrection Sunday, and I want to speak to you on the theme, three life-changing symbols of Easter. And the first symbol I want to talk to you about this morning is the empty cross. And as you follow, you'll discover that all the symbols I'm going to talk to you about this morning are summed up symbols about something that was empty. But the first thing, the empty cross. And I want us to pick up at John's Gospel chapter 19. We're going to read a few verses just before what was read for us. John's Gospel chapter 19, verse 31 to verse 38. Verse 31 says, "Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs may be broken, and that they may be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other one who was crucified with Jesus. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, 'Not one of his bones shall be broken.' And again another scripture says, 'They shall look on him whom they pierced.'" Amen? During the Gulf War, Ruth Dillow received a message from the Pentagon that her son, Private First Class Clayton Carpenter, had stepped on a mine in Kuwait and was dead. 3 days later, Mrs. Dillow got another call. And the voice on the other line said, "Mom, it's me. I'm alive." The Pentagon had made a big mistake. her son was alive. She was excited that the reports of her son were untrue and that her son was not really dead. But today I am excited that the reports of the death of Jesus are true. Amen.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ did die. Amen.
Amen.
But today we praise God that the cross is empty. He did die, but the cross is empty because up from the grave he arose. The cross was not the end of the story, because if Jesus stood, hung on that cross, we would be in trouble. But hallelujah, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. But I want to talk to you a little bit about something that perhaps is behind this story, my own opinion on this. And I wanted to write this down because I believe the empty cross, write this down, symbolizes that forgiveness of sins is available to everyone. The empty cross symbolizes that forgiveness of sins is available to everyone. I'm going to put a verse of scripture on the screen so we can read together. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And here's how it reads. The Bible says, "He himself bore our sins in his body," where? On the cross, "so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Jesus went to the cross. He died on the cross so that he could pay the penalty your sin deserved, and he could pay the penalty my sin deserved. On the cross, Jesus paid the full penalty our sins deserved. And as a result of that, my young person, older person, it doesn't matter. Listen, you may as well stop pretending you are not a sinner, because all of us are. We all done some stuff, didn't we?
Yes.
And the truth is, even after we have come to Jesus, we find that there's a part of us that wants to keep on doing something sinful. So don't come into God's house this morning pretending like you're some saint. Just fess up this morning and say, "God, it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. Listen, it's me who needed Jesus. It's me who needed a Savior. And I'm so glad Jesus Christ went and paid the penalty my sin deserved." Hallelujah. Jesus paid the full penalty our sins deserve. But listen, there is something that's very significant. It's very significant that verse 33 pointed out that not one of Jesus' bones was broken. Did you notice that? It says that not one of his bones, one of the verses says, actually it's verse number 36, not one of his bones shall be broken. You may not realize this, but people who were crucified usually did not die from the blood loss. Very often we think that the reason people who are crucified die is because they have lost so much blood. But that is actually not true. The reason that most people die, most people who are crucified actually die from asphyxiation. It's the inability to breathe. And so as long as they were strong enough to raise themselves to inhale and exhale, a person who is crucified usually will survive for a very long time. So to hasten their death, the soldiers would often break their legs so they couldn't pull themselves up. Do you see that? Do you get the picture? So they would keep suffering, they would keep surviving as long as they could inhale and exhale. And this is why the text tells you that the soldiers went and broke their legs, because when they broke their legs, they couldn't breathe, they couldn't lift themselves anymore, and they couldn't inhale and exhale. And in our text, the Sabbath was approaching. This is so comical. You know, sometimes it's good to get the comedy out of scripture. These men had just brutalized an innocent man and killed him. And here they are worried about the fact that it's their holy day coming up. And so we gotta get him off the cross, because we don't want him up there during our holy day after all. So they go to the Jewish leaders, they go to the Roman officials, and they say, "You know, holy day is coming. We don't want these people on the cross. Would you please take them down?" So of course they have to. "Would you please break their legs?" I think that so that they'll die and we can take them down. So they went and they examined two of the guys, and two of the guys were already dead. No, help me out, I'm giving you false teaching. Two of the guys were what? Two of the guys were alive. Who was dead?
Jesus.
Oh, I can see you now. Jesus wasn't doing as much push-ups as these other guys. Jesus wasn't as physically fit as these other guys. These guys, they outlived Jesus. Jesus couldn't handle it. If that's what you believe, you miss the whole story. You would have missed the whole story. Because Jesus died. The reason he died is because the purpose why he came was fulfilled. Look at John's Gospel chapter 19, verse 28. John's Gospel chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now, I don't want you to miss, I just said something before I said "I thirst," which is very significant. What did you see there that was very significant? Talk back to me.
That the scripture.
Jesus, knowing that what? That all things were now accomplished. Don't miss that part. We can rush over that part. Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, everything was now in place. Everything that was required was now accomplished. He said he knew that everything was now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He said, "I thirst." They gave him wine. I was sitting there, so they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on his lip, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "What? It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up the ghost. Jesus had come to pay the penalty our sins deserved, and knowing that all things were accomplished, he said, "It is finished," and gave up his spirit. You know, this was not a whimper. The "it is finished." You know, I remember as a youngster, I would look at this word, "It is finished." Okay, his life is ending. Oh, it is finished. He was not saying "it is finished" because it was a whimper, that his life was about to ebb away. That was not what "it is finished" means. You see, the word in the Greek word that is used for "it is finished" is the word tetelestai. And you see, if you were a mountain climber and you were Greek and you made it to the top of Mount Everest, when you got to the top of Mount Everest, you would shout tetelestai! Mission accomplished! I achieved the goal! And that's what Jesus was saying after everything was in place. Jesus, knowing that everything was accomplished, he said, "It is finished." He says, "Tetelestai, mission accomplished." The Bible said, having said that, Jesus bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He had fully paid God's just penalty for your sin and my sin. And so he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Listen, everything that was required for me to get the forgiveness that I so badly needed was accomplished on the cross by Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
My friend, this morning, if you're here, no matter what you have done, forgiveness is available, because the empty cross symbolizes to us that forgiveness is available to every single human being. Amen. 3 Easters ago, I was speaking in Kingston, Jamaica, and in the message I happened to mention that the previous time I was in Jamaica, I had given it when I preached. A gentleman came forward and he told me right there in the aisle as I went to meet him. He says, "You know, I'm a good man and I'm really on my way to shoot and kill some people because we had some killing this morning." And he said to me, "What you preach, does this apply to a good man? Can God save me?" And that day God saved him and changed him. He never went on his mission. So I was sharing that in this church, and lo and behold, there was another gunman. No, don't start thinking all of us Jamaicans are gunmen. Right? We got a few though. So lo and behold, I found out later that day There was another gunman at church. He was only there because it was Easter and his mom was on him so much. He said, okay, after all the shooting I'm doing all day long, I could at least come and please my mother. So he went to church that Sunday. But God spoke to his heart. And somehow the story I told about this other gunman that God saved struck him. And so he started to realize that God could save him too. That despite how bad he was. You see, the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse every sinner. And my friend, you might be here and your life is messed up. You've done some stuff that not even your parents know what you have done. But I want you to know, no matter what you have done, the blood of Jesus is able to reach you and is able to cleanse you and is able to change you. Because the empty cross is symbolizing for us, Jesus has done everything necessary to save the vilest sinner who comes to him. And I'm going to ask you this morning to come to him. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to open your heart and receive Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sin. The empty cross reminds us that forgiveness of sin is available to everyone. The empty cross. But secondly, the empty tomb. Look with me at John's Gospel chapter 20. John's Gospel chapter 20. Just verses 1 and 2. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." You know, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, Jesus had told his disciples that he was going to die and would rise on the third day. This is an interesting study because somehow the disciples didn't get it, but some of the ungodly people, the Jewish rulers, they got it. That's a message for another time. So on the third day, when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away, she automatically assumed that they had stolen the body of Jesus. Somebody had stolen Jesus. But Jesus was neither stolen. Amen. He was not stolen because Jesus had raised himself from the dead. You see, in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 18, he had declared, "No man takes my life from me. What? I lay it down so I can take it again." No one. So in a real sense, you know, sometimes there's a big debate as to who killed Jesus. But in a real sense, yes, we killed him. The Jews killed him. The Romans killed him. I killed him. But in a real sense, Jesus said, "No man can take my life from me, because nobody can kill me, because all power is given unto me." He says, "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down so that I can take it up again." And Jesus Christ, the Almighty Son of God, he was put in that tomb, but without anybody's help, no angel came to help him. The Almighty God raised himself from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. And my friend, anytime you may say, "Oh, I don't believe in Jesus," well, I want you to find somebody else who can raise himself from the dead. If you can find somebody else, you start believing in that person. But there ain't nobody like my Jesus. Amen. Amen. There ain't nobody like my Jesus. I'm glad the cross was empty, but I'm also glad the tomb was empty. Write this down. The empty tomb symbolizes that everlasting life is available to everyone. The empty cross symbolizes that forgiveness of sin is available to everyone. The empty tomb symbolizes that everlasting life is available for everyone. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him," whosoever believes in him, "will not perish, but have everlasting life." Let me put on the screen a few verses about the resurrection on this Resurrection Sunday. Let's put up 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 16 to 20. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16 to 20. I have it there in the New American Standard Bible. And here's what it says. For if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sin. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hope in Christ only in this life, we are of all people most to be pitied. But the fact is, hallelujah, the fact is, oh, this is a fact. This is the most documented fact in ancient history. This is, you know, this is not something that only the Bible talks about. You go and start studying. This is the most documented fact in ancient history. The fact is, Christ has been raised from the dead. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who are asleep. Listen. If Jesus was still in the tomb, we'd have nothing to celebrate today. In fact, the truth of the matter is, if you read the text, we Christians will be the most pitiable people on earth because we've been running around spreading a false message. We'd have sacrificed our life. We'd have given up a lot of stuff following a dead Jesus. But hallelujah. The fact is, Jesus is resurrected. The one that was crucified on a cross is alive. And my friend, I want to ask you, what are you going to do with that? If a dead man can raise himself, you better listen to him good. Amen. Amen. You had better listen to him good, and you had better get your life in line with this one. He says, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Thank God we have a hope. Amen. Amen. The tomb is empty, and because he lives, everlasting life is available. But you know, notice there's a little part in that thing. It says, Christ has been raised from the dead. What does it say? The what? The first. Don't be so shy. You know, I don't normally, I'm usually a quiet preacher, but you know, you can talk back to me sometimes. He's what? The what? The first fruits of those who are asleep. You see, Christ's resurrection is the first fruits. In other words, there is a whole harvest of resurrections to come. Are you with me this morning? There is a harvest coming. He's just the first fruit. There's a harvest coming. And one of these days, every believer in Jesus Christ shall be raised again to live forever with Jesus in heaven. That's where. Praise the Lord. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119.
The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.